He is Matt Snyder. We have him on from time to time, and thankfully we're getting him on today because that means we've got something to talk about with baseball. Hey, Matt, welcome back. How are you?
I'm very good. You know, it's nice when somebody says we have something to talk about regarding baseball, and it's not negotiations between owners and the Players Association, because that's all it's been for the past several weeks for me. So this is just beautiful.
Why, though, Matt? Why? I came here loaded with two extra legal pads this morning to write down all the free agency signings we had since 6 o'clock last night. I got nothing, man. What's going on here?
I know. I guess. Teams didn't, for lack of a better word, because I don't know if it would technically be collusion, but I guess they didn't collude as much as we thought they were going to during the lockout. I thought there would be all kinds of, like, under-the-table negotiations and stuff like that, and teams might even have trades lined up, but apparently they haven't been talking that much. Or, you know, maybe it's a little nudge-nudge, wink-wink, we'll talk to you once there's a deal, and now there's a deal in place, so they're just getting started. Maybe there will be a deluge of moves tonight. Maybe it happens over the weekend. Maybe it's early next week. But I don't think it's going to take long.
Can you tell me, this is a weird number, the executive committee votes 8-0 against the deal.
Yeah.
26 of the 30 team reps said, nope, we're ready to go back. Let's play ball. How'd that happen?
There must have been some kind of disconnect there. I also wonder if, at some point, the guys on the front line lost touch with some of the a lot of the players who are not the player reps, and the player reps were getting pushed a lot more by the members of their team, because the meetings aren't all together. It's not like there's just too many players there to be able to pull anything like that off. So, you know, you have Max Scherzer, Andrew Miller, Marcus Semien, Francisco Lindor, four other guys on those were the eight. I think what they do is that they're the ones negotiating in with the lawyers and the owners and stuff, and then they'll have like a Zoom meeting with the 30 team reps. And then each team rep goes back to probably team leaders on his team. So like Ian Happ is the Cubs rep. Let's say after Happ gets off the Zoom with Scherzer and Miller and Semien Lindor, he goes to Jason Hayward, Kyle Hendricks, and Wilson Contreras and says, now you guys talk to a bunch of guys and you guys get back to me. And it's a chain. I think that if everybody's not hearing exactly what the executive committee's hearing, you might be getting to the point where a lot of players who don't make that much money, which is relatively speaking, but they're not loaded like Max Scherzer, right?
Right.
I think they're probably saying, hey, man, we got to play, you know? And it probably got to the point that all the team reps were feeling it, and they thought the deal, like Brandon Crawford last night was quoted as saying the deal's good enough. I think everybody got to that point where they said, look, this is good enough, let's go play. And maybe the executive subcommittee, guys like Scherzer and Lindor and Semien, they've already got their money. Yeah. They don't need every little bit. So that might be where the disconnect was.
And if they don't start playing effectively, you're not getting 162 games, and you don't play, you don't get paid.
Exactly. And so it's a case where, again, this is speculation, but it might be a case where guys like Scherzer and Lindor, who have so much more money, Semien just signed that gigantic deal.
Yeah.
If you compare those guys to guys who are making close to the league minimum, they're going to feel it a lot less if they miss 20 games.
Matt Snyder, CBS Sports baseball writer. Kenny, let me get you in here on this. Just bring in to note here, if you went or to the boss lady or man yesterday and got a raise, you got your 3% cost of living. Just keep in mind, the minimum salary in baseball went up 23% yesterday when this was all signed. And so there you go. 23%.
That's a good cost of living raise, isn't
that's
it?
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a little something here, Matt, that we have on this show, and we say real world and sports,
and sports world,
okay?
Yeah.
They never come together. So we understand 23% in the real world. Let me ask you, 99-day lockout.
Yeah.
What was the one thing that finally hit the table for both sides for them to say, all right, a deal, let's sign? What was the one sticking point?
I think it was time.
Maybe
combining that with public sentiment and knowing, because there were the three big things were the pre-arbitration bonus pool, the competitive balance tax, And you know what? I'm drawing a blank. I've been going over this crap so many times for the past 6 weeks. And
it was an economic core
issue.
They were economic core issues, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was the minimum. We just said it. It was the minimum.
Okay.
It was the league minimum.
All right.
So they've been – those three things, they've been really far apart, and all three have been creeping and creeping and creeping closer to get closer and closer and closer together. And we got to the point that they were really, really close together. And we were getting to the point that we weren't going to be able to have 162 games if there wasn't a deal. And we were getting to the point that the public was saying, you know what, we are sick and tired of hearing all these rich people argue about money.
Yep.
All those things came together, and I think that both sides realized, you know what, we've got to do this. We've got to do this and quit messing around.
Why was the international draft such a big thorn in the side?
I think it's because it was thrown in at the last minute, is the way that it was. Scherzer, who said, hey, we've been willing to talk about the international draft all along. It's just we hadn't been talking about it at all. And then once we got close enough on the economic issues, all of a sudden they said, oh, by the way, we're going to attach the international draft to getting rid of the qualifying offer.
Right.
And I can understand that. It's like if you're buying a car and, you know, you go through points A, B, C, and D, and you hammer out the price. And, you know, the guy goes back to the back and says, let me talk to the manager for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back up and says, okay, now this is our best offer. And then right when you're about to sign, oh, by the way, we can't get you that car in the color we said. It has to be a different color.
Nice.
Then you're going to be like, well, hold on. We just negotiated all this stuff. So I think that's all that was.
Yeah,
Matt bought a car recently, doesn't it, Kenny?
No. Did they decide that was the table, that issue, until July?
Yeah, because everything's not worked out, is it?
I think it'll be okay. I think they just needed time, and they need to be able to sort things out. And a lot of the Latino players have been really against the international draft for years, because we're talking about teenage kids in very poor countries getting exploited. But they're already being exploited by the system in place. So I think if you get with a lot of international scouts, and you can get with some experts, and you get with guys who came up through that system, who were drafted internationally, and have some experience with how it works, maybe we can come up with a system that's best for everybody. And there's time to do it.
I mean, Albies and Acuna are prime examples of two players who are making not a lot of money, I say, in the sports world, compared to what maybe they would be based on those contracts they signed.
Oh, Albies getting completely jobbed.
Yeah, really. Good grief. Go ahead, Kenny.
Well, I was going to ask Matt, the other thing that stands out to me, the advertisements on uniforms and helmets. I mean, I know it's been talked about for some time.
That. Yeah.
But, I mean, on and off. But why was this agreed upon, and did they take a look at some of the other sports? I mean, what are, like, NASCAR? And they said, hey, listen, they're making money any way possible. We need to do the same.
Well, yeah, it goes back to the owners talking about how they really don't make nearly as much money as everybody thinks they do. So they're, you know, they're always crying poor. I feel sorry for those billionaires, don't you guys?
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, so they got to make every little buck they can. I think that maybe the NBA is a model, because you probably don't even really notice those patches on each uniform anymore. And it's probably going to be small. I think a lot of people will complain at once, but allow me to point out, look, I'm unabashedly pro player. The players agreed to that like right away. So a lot of the people who were talking about needing to give concessions, one of the first things that was brought up was the owner saying, let us put advertising patches on the uniforms and helmets so we can make more money. And the players right away said, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Couple things here. No bigger bases right now. No pitch clock, because you just don't have time to implement that. No runner on second base, thank you very much, in extra innings. But there will be the designated hitter. Could that have some effect on some of these free agent guys and what teams do here over the next few days?
Yeah, definitely. And not necessarily even having to play them at DH, but you look at the days of David Ortiz and Edgar Martinez are mostly in the rearview mirror. There's a few guys, like Ohtani has the DH when he doesn't pitch, but he's a special exception.
Yeah.
Other than that, looks like Nelson Cruz said he retired from Major League Baseball and he's going to play in the Dominican Republic. That leaves Framil Reyes as just about the only full-time DH. So you'll see guys probably like Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos, who maybe they'll DH a good portion of the time, but they can also play the outfield some, and Schwarber started to learn first base with the Red Sox. The main thing is teams rotate guys through this now.
Yeah.
They'll use the DH as like somebody's quote-unquote off day for the week. They can keep them in the lineup, but they don't have to play the field, and it's kind of an off day. But that does increase the free agent value because now you're saying, look, we've got an extra spot in the lineup now.
Yeah.
So even somebody like Anthony Rizzo, who at this point is probably a better defender at first base than he is a hitter, this still helps his value because there might be a team that has a first baseman in the everyday lineup, but he's not as good of a defender as Rizzo. Now you say, hey, we can kick this guy to DH for most of the time, and we can play Rizzo at first.
Kenny, you knew I was going to drop this question in for him because we've been talking about it since the end of the World Series. Matt Snyder, where will Freddie Freeman be by the end of the weekend?
I would say unsigned.
Oh, really?
I think it's gonna. Wow. Yeah, I think it's gonna drag a little bit more. It feels like from everything we've heard that the Braves still are pretty adamant they're not going to go that 6 year, and Freeman really wants it.
Wow.
And I feel like the Dodgers and maybe even the Yankees are going to dangle that 6th year. So maybe the Blue Jays get involved too. The Braves might have their hands full if those three teams jump in there. I mean, I'm a lifetime Cubs fan, so I really don't care. In terms of like where my fandom lies,
right?
But I'm saying that because I want to say I hope that Freeman stays with the Braves because there's something about a player being with a team throughout his entire career and being like a franchise legend,
yeah,
and an icon, especially since they just won the World Series. I really want to see within the next few days Freeman re-signing with the Braves. I just feel like that would be right.
Matt Snyder with us this morning. Matt, tell folks where they can keep up with you on Twitter and in CBS Sports. And I'm guessing we might even hear you on one of the CBS Sports Network shows this weekend because I know they have you on every once in a while.
Yeah, no, it's CBSSports.com in Major League Baseball tab, CBSSports.com/MLB. And then on Twitter, Matt Snyder, CBS. And, yeah, it's streaming video would be on CBSSports.com. It'd be on the CBS Sports HQ channel, which is, I guess, our, for lack of a better way of phrasing it, our version of ESPN News. It's just streaming.
Gotcha. So glad we could talk real baseball with you this morning, my friend. We appreciate it. You're the best.
Yeah,
thank
me
you.
Too.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks,
you
man.
Too. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.